For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. The state of Connecticut stands to profit handsomely if and when it does finally legalize marijuana, recreational marijuana, that is. That's according to a new UConn study. To talk more about that, we're joined by the co-director of the Connecticut Coalition to Regulate Marijuana, attorney Devon Ward. Attorney Ward, what's been your reaction to the conclusions of this study that the state could reap, I hear, $1 billion in tax revenues over 5 years and create 17,000 jobs just for legalizing recreational marijuana?
The reactions that we've been getting since we've released the study have been largely positive in that state economies are looking for opportunities to create new revenue since COVID, and the new revenue is very welcomed.
So I understand you had a role in the putting together of this study. Could you talk about that?
Well, we worked collaboratively with Fred Cardison, who's the director of the Connecticut Center for Economic Analysis, and that it's based out of UConn. And so we helped him put together the study, more so in finding it was really tough to find a model that was similar to Connecticut, because a lot of the more advanced and mature markets don't share a lot of characteristics with Connecticut in terms of their usage of marijuana, or even, you know, how they've come to have legalized sales. So we really had to base our projections off of Colorado, which was probably the most had the most in common with Connecticut in terms of their medical program, and then in terms of their reported usage among their residents prior to legalization.
In what way was Colorado apples to apples, and in what way was it apples to oranges when in regards to Connecticut?
Well, so Colorado had a pretty robust medical program similar to Connecticut, and then you just adjust the usage per with the population. But so, you know, you wanted to look at a mature market, but not somewhere like California that's had a medicinal program, you know, for decades or over a decade. So Colorado was the best fit.
Well, it seems that we have a special session of the legislature coming up, and Governor Lamont, he has expressed support for recreational marijuana legalization in Connecticut. How hopeful are you that recreational marijuana is legal statewide this time next year?
Yeah, so Governor Lamont has been a great champion of this issue well before, you know, the fiscal policy made sense. But last session, in the 2020 session, Governor Lamont actually sponsored and put forth a bill to have the adult use of cannabis here in Connecticut for folks over the age of 21. That bill received a hearing in the Judiciary Committee, and once the Capitol shut down due to COVID, the bill was stalled and the session was eventually scrapped. And so it's great to have the governor on this issue and supporting this issue, and it's going to be pretty exciting in the 2021 session. We anticipate that Governor Lamont, along with legislative leaders, are going to cobble together what could potentially be you know, some of the most well intentioned and well thought out adult use marijuana policy in the country.
Hey, you know, I'm an old sportscaster, so I like predictions. So, this time next year, do you think that we have legalized marijuana in the state of Connecticut?
Well, it depends. So usually the ramp up to actually having, you know, sales in the state of Connecticut, it, for even places around the country that have done this, it's taken them about a year. Because Connecticut, we have a medical program. We have about 18 licensed dispensaries in the state of Connecticut. We would be able to potentially start sales maybe a little bit sooner, but it would likely take about a year, even once the legislature decides they want to go into it. So if we work back from that assumption, you know, legislative session starts in January. Let's say they don't pass the bill until the end of session in June. It goes into effect July 1st. There probably won't be sales, legal sales in the state of Connecticut probably until a year from that. So that would be July of 2022.
Wow. Sounds like right. We're in a race with the coronavirus vaccine for which comes first.
Yeah. I mean, you know, July of 2022 or 2022 may seem pretty far off. But when you think about that, there's only you know, 3 more months left of 2020, and you know, 2021 is right around the corner. It really isn't that far off. It'll really be here before you know it.
Okay, well, this is the devil's advocate portion of our show, where I ask you some devil's advocate questions. So,
number one,
the current reports that this study was funded with $15,000, I believe, from the Marijuana Policy Project, a national group that lobbies for pot legalization and proclaims on its website that it, quote, ran winning campaigns in 8 of 11 legalization states. Does that inherent conflict of interest trouble you at all? Should people take this study with a grain of salt, given who funded it?
Well, no, because the methodology, you know, can be replicated. And so, you know, we've been very transparent about how we got to these numbers. And I would, you know, challenge any economist or any policy wonk out there to challenge us on how we got to these estimates. And they're actually quite conservative. We've actually used more conservative estimates, you know, and if we may have speculated a little bit more, the revenue estimates may have been larger. But, you know, I think the fact that, you know, Marijuana Policy Project paid for the study doesn't really have any doesn't sway the findings of the study, and that the findings of the study are based on numbers and are based on an economic model. And so I would challenge anyone thinking that the study is biased or swayed, you know, by anybody who paid for it to really dig into the numbers and challenge us on the hard facts.
I'm going to dig into a number in just a second, but first I've got to say that I love it when a guest brings the word policy wonk onto the show. I feel like I should give any guest who does it a prize. Unfortunately, this is public radio. It's not in the budget. You understand.
Completely understand, and I hope you guys get more funding.
Well, we'll start with you. You know, pledge drives this month. So, anyway.
Okay.
All right. So it looks like, now we're talking about these numbers. It looks like the study is saying that Connecticut will make more than Massachusetts makes on pot tax revenue, and we have half the population here in Connecticut. Is that realistic?
Well, the way they do the revenue may be a little bit different. So Massachusetts, they have a 10.75 retail tax and then a standard sales tax of 6.25, and then they add additional some localities can add an additional tax up to 3%, which you know, all that together is potentially up to 20% tax. The tax proposals proposed in our study, the percentage-based tax is a 26% tax. So you know, that difference in revenue really depends on the tax structure.
So a higher tax structure here.
Exactly.
So if we have higher taxes on our pot here, now I thought one of the draws was that if you legalize pot here, that you would have people come in from New York. I think there's another neighboring state that where it's legal.
Well, that's the thing. New York and Rhode Island don't have legalized
Rhode Island. That's
adult use sales at all, right? And so, you know, those folks, you know, especially the folks in New York and in Westchester County aren't driving, you know, up to Northampton or, you know, Worcester to buy marijuana.
Well, but the people in New York aren't. But what about the people? I mean, you know, Massachusetts is very accessible from Connecticut. If we have 26% tax rates on the pot here, and they have much less, as you just enunciated a moment ago, won't people just go where it's cheaper?
I mean, some may, and the thing is, these tax rates they fluctuate over time. So I mean, it's not really comparing apples to apples to compare our tax rate to Massachusetts, because their market is more mature, right? And so over time, the tax rate should fluctuate. And so one of the proposals in the study actually contemplates that the tax rates actually fluctuate once we're able to try to absorb more of the illicit market.
We'll end with the final devil's advocate argument that you hear a lot. What about the argument that whatever money a state takes in from legalization of recreational pot and the tax revenue that ensues, whatever money that yields will be offset by societal costs, by increased DUIs, by lower productivity, addiction and, you know, recovery spending and other things. What is your response to that argument?
Right. So a lot of that information has kind of just been debunked because, you know, Connecticut's in the fortunate position that 11 states have already legalized. So we can actually have data to prove that. And so none of that is true. You know, in Colorado's GDP has risen steadily each year since legalization. They're actually, you know, always listed on the U.S. News and World Today as one of the top state economies. Same thing with California. And so, you know, the science that, you know, or the sayings that, you know, more legalization will breed more societal costs just hasn't borne out in states that have already legalized. That's just been the case in terms of hard science. So, yeah, I understand it's an anecdotal argument, but, you know, the places that have legalized have just not found that to be true.
So at the end of the day, you're saying it's an argument that sounds reasonable enough when said in the abstract, but when you actually put it to the scrutiny of data, doesn't hold up.
Correct. I mean, even a stat like in Colorado, right, where they're saying cannabis use among teens are down and graduation rates are up actually since legalization. And that's by part of that now cannabis is harder to obtain. And it has labels, right? It has labels that clearly say, you know, this is not for underage use, and there's more regulation when you have regulation in a legalized market. And so, you know, that those claims just haven't borne out in the states that have already went down this road. And Connecticut has the benefit of being able to draw from those experiences in crafting a legal market that works for Connecticut.
Co-director of the Connecticut Coalition to Regulate Marijuana, attorney Devon Ward, thanks so much for weighing in.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.